Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out when you can. There's no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you in. And I think you'll find some things there that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful in your small business. Tom Mast is our guest, and he's our good friend, the author of Over a Barrel, A Simple Guide to the Oil Shortages, and he's here to talk to us about this. He's one of our top petroleum experts in the Brain Trust. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. Good morning.
It's good to have you back, Tom. Tom, the not much has changed, it seems to me, since you and I started talking about this. Oil prices are still high. Demand is still high, even though, you know, typically, Tom, if you remember back years ago, the higher the price went, the lower the demand got. But this global economy has a huge appetite for petroleum, seemingly at any price, doesn't it?
Well, that seems to be the case. People keep driving about the same amount, no matter what the price is, and that has been a little bit of a surprise.
One thing that's been interesting, Tom, about the price of petroleum and the economy is that many people would have thought, I think probably 3 years ago, that if oil had stayed, you know, went into the 70s and stayed there as long as it has, that surely there would have been an economic downturn of some kind. But the truth is that hasn't happened. And when I talk to my economist friends about this, they tell me it's because we use less petroleum per dollar of gross domestic product than we did in the past. It's not, even though petroleum is very important, it's a very important part of our economy, it's not as important and as essential as it used to be. What do you think?
Well, I think that's true. It's a smaller percentage of people's budget than it was a generation or so back. But I think it's beginning to have a little bit of an impact for people who make a good bit of money. I don't think that it makes a lot of difference, but for the average person, for someone who's not making a lot of money and has children and is on a fairly tight budget,
right.
Spending an extra, you know, spending $50 for a tank of gas instead of $25 and doing that regularly is going to take $200 or $300 a month out of their budget.
They don't have that money.
And that's money that they're just not going to spend on something else. And so I think we're beginning to see an impact on our economy of that. It's just,
well, I also wonder, Tom, if that's not compounding the home mortgage situation.
Well, I think it is. I think between the mortgage and this and so forth, that our economy is about to slow down.
Well, what do you think, you know, OPEC's going to meet, I think, in about a month or so, 3 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
And do you see any signs on the horizon that they might increase their output, or what do you think they'll do?
I rather doubt it, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that has been one of the impacts of what's happened over the last few years, in that people haven't really cut back their expenditures. They've absorbed the higher price of energy much better than the world, including OPEC, thought they would. And so OPEC used to feel like they had to keep the price of oil down to, say, $50 or something. And now that it's been in the 60s and 70s for some time without the sky falling in, I don't think they feel like they have much incentive to turn on the taps, if they're capable of doing that.
Well, and certainly, exactly. And if, of course, if they created more, the price would go down. There's, you're right, there's no reason for them to. In fact, it might actually hurt them. So I don't think we need to expect more production, that's for sure.
I'd be a little surprised if they do anything dramatic. And there's a lot of question about what they're capable of doing. And that, you know, the consumption around the world is going up at 1 million or 2 barrels a day mm-hmm. per year. And their reserves, their ability to increase their production, a lot of people feel like is in that range. Maybe they could do another 1 million or 2 barrels a day, but pretty soon they're not going to have any reserve capacity, some people feel.
Do you believe that we're in for high 60s, low 70s, at least, a barrel oil for the foreseeable future?
Well, that or higher.
Or higher?
Yes.
We still haven't adjusted for inflation. We still haven't reached the highest the level of oil, as I say, adjusted for inflation that we had back in the 70s, have we? Was that $90 to get a barrel?
I believe it was in that range, and that's true. We still haven't gotten there.
We're still off of that quite a bit. Do we have the ability? I know we don't have the resolve right now, politically and apparently from a popular standpoint. But do we have the technological ability to wean ourselves off of carbon-based petroleum?
Absolutely not. And
we don't have the technological ability to do that.
I don't think so. No. Nuclear power is what a lot of people are beginning to realize is what some people might call a renewable source. It's certainly basically a carbon-free source, but we haven't figured out how to use it in transportation very well.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we decided that we were willing to build a lot of nuclear plants, it would take a long time to do it to begin
yeah.
with. And then when we get through doing all that, we still wouldn't have solved the transportation problem unless we can come up with a way to run cars on batteries.
There's still the waste issue with nuclear that you have to deal with, the spent fuel. Stand by. We're going to be right back with Tom Mast. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. He and I will be right back. When we come back, we're going to talk about what can Washington do about this challenge that we have. Stay with us.
In a white room with black curtains near the station.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And by the way, if you just tuned in for the first time, if you've never heard this show before, this is not the way my voice ordinarily sounds. It's, of course, you might think it sounds better, those of you who've listened to me before, but just a little bit of laryngitis, nothing painful, just a little bit of a laryngitis case. Tom Mast is our guest, folks, and he's the author of Over a Barrel. Tom, I feel like I've got about a 35.65% laryngitis case. What do you think?
Well, I hope your voice doesn't give out on you.
Oh, I think it's going to be fine. This has happened before. Tom, we're talking about petroleum and our non-existent energy policy. Is that a correct characterization, Tom, a non-existent energy policy?
Well, it's fairly close, I think. As you mentioned earlier to me, there's too much politics by far in what our people in Washington either do or don't do in energy. One of the things that disturbs me is the hubbub over ethanol. Ethanol still takes approximately as much energy to produce as it yields. In other words, you have to use petroleum-based fuels to plow the land and run the plants that produce the ethanol and distribute it and so forth. And so we're exerting all this energy and these tremendous subsidies and spending a lot of money. And I think much worse than that, giving the typical the general population the impression that we're, quote, solving the problem, unquote, when we're not. We're just spinning our wheels. And then
I think the average American does believe that ethanol, if we just built more ethanol plants and grew more corn and switchgrass, et cetera, that we could solve this thing. And they don't realize that it's really a zero-sum game, isn't it?
Well, I think so. And in the process, we've driven the price of corn way up.
Yep.
To the point where the Mexicans, poor people in Mexico, can't afford to buy our corn anymore.
Right.
For tortillas, and therefore that cuts into our ability to export and to gain dollars by doing that. And we're converting our lands from growing food, which this country has been extremely good at, to, mm-hmm. to growing fuel. And so I think that's just sort of typical of the kinds of things we're doing. CAFE standards are another issue. We're basically, as I'm understanding, allowing one person who's a representative from Michigan to, or maybe he's a senator, I'm not sure, to put a hold on generating stiffer CAFE standards.
Is that Dingell?
It may well be. That sounds right.
Senator Dingell from Michigan. I think you're right. Yep.
I believe you're right.
Well, what we've got is...
You know, I'm not a believer in government regulation, but the last time, which was 30 years or so ago, that Congress did pass CAFE standards, they worked dramatically well.
Tell the audience what CAFE is.
A CAFE is Corporate Annual Fuel Economy or something
mm-hmm.
like that, but it's imposed standards on the automobiles that Detroit builds to achieve higher gas mileages, and they did that back in the 70s, I believe
mm-hmm.
it was, when we had the Arab oil embargo, and over an extended period of time, they approximately doubled the fuel economy of the entire fleet of United States automobiles. A dramatic change.
It's hard for me to believe, though, Tom, that with our ability to innovate and to create technologies, that if this country got behind this, if somehow the Washington leadership, the Washington could find the leadership, I should say, to put all of our efforts behind, almost a Manhattan Project kind of thing, to find the best way for us to propel ourselves and propel our machines and move us away. It seems to me, it'd be hard for me to believe that within 10 to 20 years we couldn't do that.
I don't know that we can wean ourselves off of oil, but we could certainly get everybody's attention and make some giant steps forward. And you're absolutely right. I've advocated an effort similar to what we had when we put a man on the moon, because we had incredible technological problems in doing that, and we solved them and had a man walking on the
yep.
moon in 10 years.
Well, but the thing is, though, the problem we got right now, Tom, is worse than I've ever seen, maybe worse than any time in our history. We've got one party, whichever party, pick one, that refuses to let the other party, which may be in leadership, either in the Congress or in the White House. Each party is willing to fail to be leaders so that the other party can't get any credit for doing something positive.
Well, I certainly couldn't have said it any better than that.
And as long as we have that kind of an environment, the American people are underserved, and we may be getting ourselves into trouble. And that's what we've got to ask our members of Congress and our politicians to do, is to put the politics aside and do your job.
Yep. One thing we haven't talked about is
Tom. I got to stop you. I'll get you to come back another time. We'll pick up on that. Don't forget that. Tell us where your book's available, please.
Well, Amazon.com is the best place to get it.
And your own website.
And my own website. That's correct.
Which is overabarrel.com.
Overabarrelbook.com.
Overabarrelbook.com. And the book is Over a Barrel, folks. Check it out when you get a chance. Thanks, Tom, for being here. Good job. We'll see you next time.
My pleasure.
Quick break, right back with Dr. Jane Cameron and Dr. Gene Wilcox.
I'm your fire, it's your desire.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.